It's something that, like, I've realized that, like, Cruel Universe's writing has, like, implemented recently because the three of us are together. We're just throwing in a lot of weird things that you don't typically hear in the type of music that's in the scene, but, like, we're throwing it in and it's sounding really cool. I'm going out, I gotta go, I'll bang a ring on the radio, so turn it up, I'm telling you.
Hi, I'm Noelle, the host of Pop Punk and Pizza, and today I'm joined by a local band from the Chicago area, Cruel Universe. How are you guys?
I am good.
I'm doing all right.
I'm pretty okay.
Good. And why don't you guys say your names and your roles in the band, like what instruments you play?
My name's Red, and I do bass and vocals.
My name is Elion, and I play guitar, and I also might start doing vocals.
Nice.
My name's Ian, and I am the drummer.
Yeah!
That's about it.
Cool. Do you live in Glen Ellyn, or is that just where you practice?
This is just where we practice. Me and Elion, we both go to College of DuPage, which is right down the street. We ended up just practicing there, and Ian doesn't live too far from here.
I live in West Chicago, which is like a 30-minute drive from here.
So. Okay. And tell me how the band started out, because originally you had different members, so tell me how you guys found each other.
So the way we found each other was I was looking for some new members, and I put a bunch of signs around school, and he found one, and he ended up texting me, and we got together. And Ian, I actually met Ian when I was auditioning people over a year ago originally. When I was like, hey, I need like another drummer, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I know I already met Ian and he's a cool guy, so I don't have to worry about him, you know, being not a good guy. So I was like, cool, I'll ask him. And then like I think I asked him on like a Saturday, and I was like, hey, you want to come in on Monday to like play this song with me and another guy? And he was like, sure. So then 2 days later we got together, and then we were just like, me and Elion were like, hey, if you want the drumming part, it's yours. So that was kind of how the three of us got together.
So. Yeah. Cool. And when did you guys start learning how to play music, and how did you decide that you wanted to be in a band?
Well, I started off playing the drums when I was like 8. I was in like band at school and stuff like that. But it was in sophomore year of high school. I got asked by this guy I was on the cross country team with. He was like, hey, you play drums, right? Like, you want to do a cover of this song with me and this other guy? And I was like, sure. I showed up to this jam session without my drums. So I ended up bringing a bass, and I was like, this is fine. And from there, I was like, yeah, this is definitely something I want to do. And me and the other guitarist, not the guy who I was in cross country with, he ended up not working out, which was funny because we were in his apartment, we were in his basement, and we ended up like starting a band without him. So me and this other guitarist, we got together, and we ended up making a band, and they're still around. I left to start this, so. That's how I started the band. It's just definitely something I ended up realizing I had always wanted to do. And it was like such a perfect connection once it happened.
That's awesome. And what about you guys?
So for me, I started playing music in fifth grade. I was a trumpet in a band. But okay. That wasn't even really when I had decided that music was going to be like my ambition and my goal or my career. And there was even a time, like, going into middle school where I was like, I don't even really want to do band anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think my mom was like, no, you should do it. You should just do it. Just do it. You're going to do it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fine, okay. But, like, in seventh grade in history class, there was this unit on the... I'm sorry for all the tongue clicks. You're going to have to edit out. There was a unit on the Roaring Twenties, and we were looking at music from that time, and my teacher showed me Ain't Misbehaving by Louis Armstrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, old songs like that, they started off with a lot of instrumentals, and Louis Armstrong was a trumpeter just like me, and I was like, oh, shit, there's someone who can do, like, a really cool stuff with this instrument that I play. So I was like, I want to push myself to do this because it's cool. So that itself wasn't even really when I was like, yo, yeah, music. It was just like, oh, this is just fun. But I remember it wasn't even until, like, my junior year of high school, I was at a concert for all the bands of the school. We had, like, three bands. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it was, like, the senior band. I was listening to this piece called Angels in the Architecture by, I don't want to get it wrong, but I think it's Frank. It's Frank.
Just Frank. There's Frank. A lot of Franks in Frank. The world.
But yeah, I was like, oh, wow, you know, music is such a beautiful thing. People can make such moving things with just something as abstract as just sound and air. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to move people the way I'm being moved right now. And I was almost brought to tears during that performance.
Oh, really?
But I was like, yeah, so this is it. And I eventually picked up guitar. I remember this was when the game Fallout 4 came out, and they had, like, a lot of, like, sweet little jazz guitar tunes on there.
Yeah.
So I picked up guitar to learn one of these tunes, and then just from there, I just got into jazz, got into rock, funk, heavy metal eventually. So, yeah.
Cool.
So I started drumming back in 2018, but I guess, like, my interest in music and all that goes back way further. My brother, who is, I'd say, about 9 years older than me, he got me into a lot of, like, screamo heavy metal stuff when I was a kid. So I was listening to that very, very early on, like Devil Wears Prada, Bring Me the Horizon type stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, before, when I was in elementary school, I did orchestra, and I tried playing the viola, and I actually got kicked out of orchestra because really? I never practiced my instrument.
Oh, no.
Dude, we could have had a violin track. We could have had a violin track on Coffin.
Yeah, probably. But then in like sophomore year, shortly after, I got into drumming and I got my first kit. For some reason, my parents were like, yeah, sure, we'll put you into percussion in band. At my high school, they say it was not, I don't remember if it was like required or necessary that you have 4 years of piano experience before joining percussion.
Oh.
And I didn't have that.
That doesn't make any sense.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Well, because they really, really, they tested us a lot with marimba or xylophone.
Oh, I see.
So I never was able to do any of that.
Oh.
So a lot of the time I was just doing like cymbals, bass drum, that's about it.
Yeah.
And then I'd say honestly, out of all that, marching band was the most fun. I was just walking around with a bass drum strapped to my chest. And after that, I'd say like after sophomore year, me and my friend Hunter, we tried to start a band. Mm-hmm. It was him on guitar, me on drums, and then we had someone else on bass, but we ended up kicking her out because she kind of had ulterior motives.
Oh.
But then we decided to bring on one of our other friends who was starting to learn bass. He took it way too seriously.
Oh.
For as like early on as we were. Mm-hmm. So we were just like, yeah, no, let's just scrap this whole idea.
Yeah.
And then after high school, that's when I started getting into the scene and going to shows and stuff. And then I started Foul, I'd say, like late 2022.
Okay.
Which we've made some progress with practices and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 2022 is when I first met with you for the audition, too. It took a while for me to be able to get as much free time as I have now, mm-hmm. to where I can be in two bands and actually have a bit of time off between that. But yeah, it's pretty much...
Nice. And so, Red, did you write all of Spectre yourself?
Yeah, I did. All of Spectre I wrote. Everything up until Coffin was all written by me. I was in another band in the scene, and when I ended up leaving, there was no Bad Blood or anything, but it turned out like I wanted something different than they wanted, and we're all fine now, but if I would have stopped writing things, I probably would have went insane, so like I kept writing a bunch of stuff, and then that ended up becoming Valentine's Last Dance, and then as I kept going, I ended up writing more songs, and something happened and I got really inspired, and the first track I wrote was Rat Messiah, and I was like, this has something to it, and then I was like, I want to make more songs like the way that this song makes me feel.
Yeah.
So then after that I wrote Local God, and then I wrote Bite Mark, and then I wrote King of Nightmares, which almost wasn't even on there. I was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I should just leave it at three. Like, I should just leave it at, like, the three songs in the intro. But then I was like, no, I need to have this one on there. So then I put King of Nightmares on there. But, yeah, I wrote all of them. The only part that I didn't write, the intro to Bite Mark, my girlfriend actually wrote. It's a part of a song that she had.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a voicemail from her that's at the beginning of the song. But the beginning, the intro is like it's the intro to a song that she wrote, and the chords and the melody that go out throughout the entirety of Bite Mark, are like a reference to that song.
Okay.
So, that's the only part that I didn't write, but I wrote the rest of the song, so it's my song.
Yeah.
But
it's your song overall. And so your first EP was kind of more melodic, and Spectre was more hardcore, I would say. So what made you want to go in a heavier direction?
Honestly, just growing tastes and changes, and just ability to play things. When I wrote Valentine's Last Dance, that was very much where I was at that time, and the ability of how I was able to make things sound. And as I progressed, I definitely knew how I wanted Spectre to sound, and I feel like Spectre sounds more uniform front to back than Valentine's Last Dance.
I would say so too.
Yeah. But I just, you know, I ended up, I've always liked heavier music, but in terms of when I wrote Spectre, I really was like, what do I want to hear? Like, when I was writing Spectre, I realized I wanted to make music that didn't exist yet, because I hadn't made it yet.
Yeah.
So I was like, when I wrote Spectre, it just was what I wanted at that time. And that's kind of the sound that we've been kind of carrying so far, especially with all the new stuff that we've written.
Cool. And do you have like a technique for your screaming so you don't hurt your voice, or is it just like you just go for it?
I've been practicing screaming for 4 years, maybe?
Okay.
It's definitely trial and error, but like I've gotten to a point where I can do it consistently at a point where I like it, and so that it doesn't hurt me. I don't know what technique I use. I've tried all of them. I've watched so many YouTube videos.
Yeah.
But
me too.
I've gotten to a point where it's just the confidence and the energy to do it, and the thought process of where I'm like, I can do it. I just have to kind of believe in myself.
Yeah.
But the biggest tip I can give anybody who wants to do vocals, and he's starting to do vocals as like backing vocals, is to just drink water. Just literally stay hydrated. I got a water bottle for my birthday, and we played a show on my birthday, and I've used a water bottle ever since on stage, and it like totally changed how like my onstage like time is.
Presences.
It's insane. But just staying hydrated. That's really it.
Yeah. And what bands inspire or influence you like musically when you're writing songs?
For me, it really depends. I can draw from a lot of different places. specifically Spectre, you like nailed it. The two like biggest inspirations were Slayer and Leathermouth.
Oh really?
Yeah, which was insane. But there's a lot of like different there's a lot of different like sounds in there. For Spectre specifically, Local God definitely sounds, or Rat Messiah is like a Slayer song. I wanted Local God. I had such an idea for how I wanted it to sound. I don't like, it's just a whole mix of different like different sounds and vibes.
Yeah.
Bite Mark is very punk, so that's a lot of like, I mean, overall, I'm always very inspired by My Chemical Romance because,
you know,
I'm a cringy emo kid.
They're my favorite bands. I totally get it.
Me too. So there's a lot of like alternative music that I like. There's a lot of punk music and metal music. That's all in Spectre. So that's me pretty much.
Yeah. What about you guys?
He's weird.
I am weird, yeah. I was trying to like remember all the ones I should just list off. But I'll start with just, you know, me and Red, we go to school for a music degree, so we're exposed to, if I can remember, well, obviously a lot of classical music and a lot of, like, old style, like, Baroque music and things like that, but also a lot of, you know, newer 20th century technique things like 12-tone composing, like, from, like, what Arnold Schoenberg does. He's an old German composer. He does a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
A lot of weird things that would make... that would kind of come off like they're coming from like some like old alien type movie thing.
Oh,
you know?
Interesting.
So obviously things like that, but I personally don't even really listen to a lot of like heavy music, and I've told these guys a lot. I listen, you know, as a trumpeter, I started off with like jazz, you know, that led me to blues, that led me to like things like soul and R&B and funk and things like that. So like obviously a lot more melodic styles of music. But I also got into, like a couple years ago, I got into psychedelic rock and things like that, psychedelic music, like progressive rock, you know, surf rock. There's a particular guy I'd like to call out from the 60s, his name is Frank Zappa. He was the leader of the Mothers of Invention. They were doing a lot of weird shit too, you know. So they were playing around with like a lot of rhythms, a lot of different ways to write melodies, you know, just playing with different scalings and things like that.
Yeah.
So I just take a lot of what they're doing and a lot of how they're trying to fit, you know, like a strange new sound, but also into like an old style. Like they do a lot of like old classic rock things, but they also add some kind of new twist to it. So I just like to do things like that. And I've told Red when he auditioned me, when we sat down and talked, I was like, I want to make weird music for just weird people.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like I'm doing a good progress with that so far.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you listen to Coffin is strange. And this is Coffin is the first song that we wrote together, the three of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the main, like, or the whole, like, melodic instrumentation of the song was all written by him.
Okay.
So this is the first riff that he shows us, and we get into a room and we're like, okay, like this is like the first time we're practicing, and he plays Coffin, and it's such a weird riff. Like it's so, it sounds good when it's like in the context of the song because he throws it into like a 4/4 beat, but it's actually like,
it goes into like a weird mix of like couple measures of 4/4 and then into like 3/1 measure, and it's just like some weird thing.
There's a measure where I think it's like 9 to 4 maybe,
something like that.
I don't know, but there's like, it's something that like I've realized that like Cruel Universe's writing has like implemented recently because the three of us are together. We're just throwing in a lot of weird things that you don't typically hear in the type of music that's in the scene, but like we're throwing it in and it's sounding really cool. There's a part where we, in a new song we're writing, we throw the rhythm into a 5/4 rhythm, so it throws the whole thing off, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess just to speak a little bit more about Coffin and just like the whole idea of it, I came up with it almost immediately after I had auditioned for Crooniverse, because Red had asked me to send in a cover of Local God and then a cover of a song of my choosing, and I chose Let God Be Your Gardener by Melvins. And if you've ever heard that song, it also plays fucking weirdly with rhythm. Yeah. and just like the notes that are playing. And so just so there was like this weird little section that plays with weird rhythm that's almost exactly like how the Coffin, the opening riff of Coffin, and just like, yeah. I just built it from there. So yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta experiment with different things and it can sound really cool.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, my main inspirations is mainly just like punk rock music.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I was really young, my brother got me into like Devil Wears Prada and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then like fifth, sixth grade, I went through my emo phase. So it was like all Sleeping with Sirens, Pierce the Veil, A Day to Remember. And I was jamming a lot of that. And then come like eighth grade, going into high school, I started branching out more like punk, ska, and like hardcore.
Yeah.
So like I was listening to a lot of like Operation Ivy, Crimp Shrine, Choking Victim, Propagandi, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that really shaped how I wanted to play the drums, because originally, like, if I had stuck with like a lot of the stuff I used to listen to, it'd be a lot more heavy and a lot more like metal than I usually play.
Yeah.
Which I have no idea how the fuck I'm supposed to learn double bass. I know I'm going to at some point.
Yeah.
But I just like, it's something that I can't really fathom in my head. Yeah. How to use both my feet for one.
It definitely requires a lot of coordination. Yeah. I would imagine.
Which it's shocking, me being a drummer, you'd think I'd have good coordination. My coordination is shit.
Yeah.
Like it's terrible.
Yeah.
Well damn, dude.
But I'm really glad I'm a part of this, because this is something that I've been wanting to do. I know I'm in another band, but that one's taking a long time to get its feet off the ground and all that. But I'm glad I have this experience, because these two motherfuckers are really chill guys and they're really good at writing music. Half the time when we're practicing and Elian shows like a new riff, it trips me up a lot because it's so complex and interesting. But it's really fun.
Yeah. Well, that's all good. So is there an overall theme to Spectre, or is like there a specific message that you wanted to get across with any of those songs in particular?
So there's the way I write lyrics, there's like there's almost always a story behind them and like what they mean. Spectre as a whole is about a like horror movie plot that I had made.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I always wanted to make a movie, but I'm way better at making music, so yeah. Like,
you can use it for your music videos.
Yeah, definitely. That's part of the plan.
Yeah.
But as far as Spectre goes, I had made a short film called Local God.
I actually saw that.
Yeah,
on YouTube.
I saw you commented on it. But yeah. So I made a short film and entered it into a short film festival, and this was even way before I had written anything for Spectre, but the storyline of Spectre goes like this. The first track is called The Descent, and the first track is basically a retelling of what happens in the short film. It's an instrumental track, but there's a backwards message, and it basically explains...
I love backwards messages.
Yeah. There's backwards speech throughout Descent, and if you play it backwards, it basically is like a stylized retelling of what happens in the short film.
Okay.
So that's that, and then Local God is like the song Local God is like what happens right after that.
Mm-hmm.
This character, he's kind of going crazy because he sold his soul. That's the whole thing. He sold his soul. And he sells his soul to write music, because he can't write music.
Yeah.
So he sells his soul. But in turn, he has to... It's a horror movie plot, so he has to kill people in order to fuel that. That's what Spectre's about. So Local God is about like this character realizing that he has these like newfound powers, these like weird demon powers and whatever.
That sounds really cool. That sounds like something that's right up my alley.
Yeah, wouldn't it make an awesome movie?
Yeah.
But then Rat Messiah is about his conflict with the devil and realizing that, like, if Local God is like, cool, I have these powers now, Rat Messiah is like, okay, but here's the drawback.
Yeah.
And then Bite Mark is like, Bite Mark's kind of like a subplot, but... And I don't know if this really comes... I doubt it really comes through, but my headcanon for Bite Mark is that this character, his like love interest dies. And he tries to resurrect her, but she ends up becoming a vampire.
Okay.
And the song Bite Mark is about these two people living forever as undead creatures, like living together as vampires. It's like a love story. It's a love song, but... It's my way of writing a love song, which is about like ripping holes in chests and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's Bite Mark. And then King of Nightmares is about the devil. It's about who he sold his soul to.
Okay.
And in King of Nightmares, there's the regular like vocals and screaming that I do, and that's supposed to be this main character. The lower vocals are supposed to be this demon presence.
Oh, okay.
That's like slowly taking over. That's why they're in the first verse, there's the lower growling vocals that's supposed to be this demon presence.
Yeah.
The second verse is supposed to be him fighting back. Mm-hmm. At the end of the song, though, he loses.
Oh.
So the end of the song happens, and there's the distorted voice at the end that asks if he's a god, and he responds yes now. Because at the beginning of the song he says no, at the end of the song he says yes. So it's like he's been fully taken over by this demonic presence and this creature. Yeah. And when I was like teasing the album, I made a lot of like little short videos, and that's where like the whole mask thing came in.
Okay.
And like it was basically my interpretation of like an 80s slasher movie.
Yeah.
And he's the Spectre killer because he's dressed in all white and he looks like a ghost.
Yeah.
So he's the Spectre killer, and that's kind of what Spectre was about.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I love a good concept album. So.
Yeah, I do too. So like I was like, I always wanted to make a concept like story of some kind involving music, and that's what came out of it. So that's what that ended up being.
That's awesome. And do you plan on putting out a full-length album anytime soon?
Oh, yeah. Right now, I would say we're probably working on, like, a shorter EP.
Okay.
I don't know when we're planning on releasing that, but we definitely want to make a longer-form album of some kind.
Okay.
Just because right now, we actually have a lot of good songs that we're, like, working on.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to try to, like, tie them all together in some way.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm super excited for that. And I've seen at your recent shows, you have this guy who introduces you before you play, and he's like wearing a medieval outfit. Is that like one of your guys' dads, or like who is that?
So we ended up, we were doing a photo shoot in the woods one time.
Yeah.
And it's the photos that like we teased for Coffin. We were in the woods, and we were trying to find a good spot to take photos, and we came across this campfire that was like crackling and stuff like that, and we were like, this is pretty cool. It was weird to find like an unattended campfire.
Yeah.
But we're there, and we're kind of like just checking it out, and then this like weird guy just comes walking out of the woods, and we're like, okay, maybe we should like get away. But he asked what we were doing. We were like, oh, we're in a band, we're taking photos. And he was like, oh, you guys are in a band, that's pretty cool. And then we were getting ready for our show at Beat Kitchen. This was our first show together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there. He showed up.
Yeah.
We don't know how he got there.
Oh, my God.
And he asked, he was like, hey, could I introduce you guys? And we were like, sure. We were like, why not? Right. So he comes on stage, and he just starts saying stuff. We didn't even know what was going on. In the first Beat Kitchen video, you can see us like, he says, like, Cruel Universe and, like, points to us, and we're kind of confused.
Yeah.
And then Ian starts the song, And then he walked away, and then we didn't see him for the rest of the night.
That's insane. You literally found him in the woods.
Oh, yeah. And then the next show we played, he was there again.
Oh, my God.
And he just keeps showing up. We don't know how he got there, so we don't ask.
That is, the craziest thing I've ever heard. Like, I thought what he was saying was rehearsed. Like, I thought you would have written that, but
I didn't have any part in that.
Because, that's pretty good.
Which show was it that he didn't end up...
He didn't come to
Ashbury.
Yeah.
The Ashbury show
we played. Which we were like, okay, he didn't find out about this one. And then we just played a show at this last one and he was there. So,
yeah. So
we find it best not to
ask questions. So you didn't even tell him your band name and he just somehow
He just knew somehow.
That is low-key creepy, but
yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't know how he's going to feel about seeing this, so we'll see.
Yeah. That's cool, though. It adds, some pizzazz to your show. Oh. I like that. So what is your favorite local venue to play at? I mean, there's a ton of really good ones, but...
I got to think about this for a second. Okay. You got anything?
I mean, I guess me and him don't really have as much experience as you, but I think still my most favorite show that we've ever played was the one at Ashbury on March 2nd. That one was pretty good. I also really like playing Streamwood Basement, but I know they're closing because they're moving out.
Oh, they're done with that? They're closing it?
Oh, yeah. The people who owned it moved.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they sold it. And their new house doesn't have a basement.
Oh, it doesn't?
Oh, my God. That sucks. That sucks. I was there recently. I saw you guys at, the most recent show.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd say my favorite was probably Beat Kitchen. As much as terrified as I was for that, because that was my first, real show.
Yeah.
Especially on such a, huge, biggest stage I've been on.
Yeah.
We had a pretty, really good, really good crowd, too. I was, terrified, but we did it really well. And
that's awesome.
I think that was probably my favorite. Second would probably be Ashbury and then, Streamwood Basement.
I had played a show. I don't know if they're still ever going to do shows here. Maybe they will, but I played a couple of shows at a place called El Mana in... I think they're Melrose Park, I think. And that was actually, when I played there, he...
Yeah, that was my first ever show that I've ever gone to, and that was them.
Oh, so really?
That was me playing. That was it was cool because it was just a big open space that we set up the sound for, but it was it just felt really good to play there.
Yeah.
And it was a really fun bill. We had been working on promoting it for a while. And the first show we played there was April 1st, so it was a year ago.
Yeah.
But that was a really fun one. Ashbury is just a fun place to play at.
Yeah, that one's really fun.
Dark Room was pretty cool. Being at Dark Room is cool.
I haven't been to Dark Room yet, but I heard it's really good.
It's definitely an interesting place.
I wanted to say Dark Room. I've never played there, but I've been to a lot of shows there.
We will.
But
we're looking at you, Noel. Get us that Dark Room again.
But ever since I've been there, the first show I went to, I was like, dude, this is my dream to fucking play here.
Yeah.
I haven't played there yet. And neither bands, but it would be fucking awesome to play there.
Yeah, awesome. And you've covered some songs before at some of the live shows I've seen you at, Paranoid by Black Sabbath and Skulls by Misfits, and I thought you did a great job with both. So are there any other songs you'd like to cover in the future?
There's actually, we're working on a blues one called St. James Infirmary.
Oh, it's by the White Stripes?
It's actually...
Did they cover that?
Who's it by originally? It's by Joe Primrose?
I don't know originally. I mean, the version I know is by an old blues... I think he's from Mississippi. An old blues guitarist named Snooks Eaglin. I know he also knows the version by Cab Calloway, but I don't know who it's originally by.
Okay. I think it's by a guy named, like, I think his name's Joe Primrose, from like the 20s.
Okay.
But Cab Calloway, his version of it is like, his version is in the like Betty Boop cartoon.
Okay.
And White Stripes actually covered that.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do like a rendition of like an old blues standard, just because like we thought it'd be cool, kind of like make it like a punk kind of metal version.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
There are also times where we'll burst out into like Fall Out Boy just in the middle of practice or something. We also did a pretty good cover of Mama by My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah, we actually might do Mama.
Oh, I'd be so down for
or
that.
Or like Teenagers or something like that.
That'd be great. And what about you? Did you have any?
Well, the last practice that we had when we were working on like just fucking around and doing covers like Mama, I think we ran through Teenagers from Mars.
Oh, by Misfits.
Yeah, we did. I Turned Into a Martian.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, no, it was I Turned Into a Martian, not Teenagers from Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah, because both have something to do with Mars.
They have like four songs.
Yeah, they
I know.
Do.
Aliens.
Yeah.
But
Astro Zombies.
Yeah,
Astro Zombies.
I love Misfits, yeah, as you can see.
Yeah, dude, Misfits was like, I love the Misfits so much.
I didn't start listening to Misfits until like after high school.
Yeah,
but
me either.
Yeah, but
Misfits is like what got me into like the like genre of music that I'm into now. Cause like this is a little cringy. but up until like halfway through freshman year, I wanted to be a rapper.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I was not good at it. but then I got turned down from playing the talent show, and I was like, man. They don't want me to rap at the talent show. And then I was like, okay, what am I going to do next year? And I've been playing bass for like a couple of years, for like 2 years at that point. And I was like, I really want to like play Anesthesia Pulling Teeth. By Cliff Burton. And I was like, he always wears a Misfits shirt. Like, I need to buy a Misfits shirt now. So like, I bought a Misfits shirt and I was like, I can't have this shirt and not listen and not know like a song.
Right.
So I started listening to Misfits. And I had realized that, like, I had been, like, my dad had played me Misfits songs, like, forever ago. And, like, it was, like, just such, like, a flash of nostalgia. And I was, like, I was, like, okay, this is where I need to be. I don't need to be a rapper. Like,
What I think is really funny about the Misfits is that, like, Misfits tied with Metallica is that I was listening to Die, Die, My Darling.
Oh, yeah.
The Misfits, like, original. Mm-hmm. With my sister in the car, and she's like, oh, I love that song. It's a Metallica song, right? I'm like, no.
Yeah, they honestly play the Metallica version more on the radio, I think.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but I like the original better. I don't know about you guys, but...
I do too.
Yeah. So, why did you kidnap Damien, the singer of Broken Demeanor, at your show at Fallen Log?
We were... So I'll break the illusion a little bit right now. Me and Damien, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings. If anybody like is wondering, I didn't actually kidnap him, but maybe it's funnier that way. But we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, and we were like, man, what could we do to get people to come to this show? We just played a show on Easter. It was us, Broken Demeanor, and a really cool band called Soul Meets Body. They were really awesome. We were like, okay, how can we get people to come to the show that's on a Sunday, it's Easter?
Yeah.
And we were at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I was like, dude, we should just make it seem like I kidnapped you. And he was like, all right. So we just filmed it and stuff like that, and we posted them without telling our respective bands. And Damien was telling me, he was like, he said that, I think it was Frankie from Broken Demeanor texted him and was like, hey, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? And we just kept going with it, and we just kept trying to like make it funnier and more stupid. They just played Ohio the day before, so I had to come up with a way of like, okay, how can we maintain continuity and have him be in Ohio? So I was like, okay, I made it seem like he escaped my trunk, and then I pretended like I drove to Ohio.
Yeah.
To like pick him up from the show and like drag him back home.
Yeah.
And like we got people texting us, like there was a band called Side Rail. They texted us like, "Hey, wait, is he actually kidnapped? Oh, no. Like is he missing?" And I was like, "Dude, no." I was like, "If he was missing, I don't think his band would be promoting the show coming up." But
oh my God.
Me and Damien are awesome friends. We're really close. I've known him for ages. We were just like, what's something silly we can do to like just maybe try to get people to come? And people came to the show, and there was two people that came up to me and said, "Hey, we came because we wanted to see the ending." And I was like, "We did it. We got one."
That's great. That's such a good promotion. Like, that's so creative.
I know, right?
I never would have thought of that. So what is would you say is your biggest goal as a band? Like, what is the biggest thing you'd like to achieve? Like any like big festivals or like venues or anything like that?
For me, the big pie in the sky goal is like pie, pizza pie. The big goal is always like to make it as a musician, to be able to live your life by doing the music that you love making. Mm-hmm. You know, that in my opinion is how I would consider making it. But the first concert I had ever been to, I went to Riot Fest in 2019, and I saw Slayer. And
they're playing this year too. I'm really excited for that.
I know. They were like, "Oh, this is our last show ever in the Midwest." And I was like, "Cool, I'm glad I was there." And now they're like, "Oh, we're back." Yeah. So I was like, "Okay, you lied, but whatever." Me and Damien from Broken Demeanor actually went to Riot Fest, and it was such a life-changing experience, especially for both of us. We were like, "This is what we need. This is what we want to do."
Yeah.
Like that was like the moment that really solidified, "Hey, we gotta do something. Like, we gotta try to do music." So my biggest goal is to play Riot Fest. I want to play Riot Fest so badly.
That'd be so awesome. I would totally see you guys there.
I'm just saying. It would be a fun time.
Let's put our heads together and manifest this.
Dude, Scarlett D'Amore's playing Lollapalooza, so it's possible, guys.
Yeah.
We could do this.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're playing there, too, and they're a local band.
What
about you guys?
For me, I guess I'll just talk about myself personally as a musician. I just want to... No, actually, I can rope in the band, too. I just want to work with these guys to make music that will make other musicians think, oh, there's something else that can be done. There's another way that I can think about my own music. And I'd like to know that, oh, I've had some kind of effect on the history of just world music, just rock music, even just like anything. Just like I changed someone's view on like how music can work or how it can be produced or written, just like anything like that.
Cool.
So for me, just about myself, I just mainly want to improve my drumming skills. I'm not that experienced, considering my first kit, my current kit, I got it back in 2018. And I've only been drumming since then. But
I mean, that's still a good amount of time.
Yeah. But it's also for the band, I think it'd be great if like we could just keep going higher. Like it'd be fucking awesome, like we were saying, like Riot Fest or something. Even like a smaller festival would be awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
I know there was that one hosted for at Side Street.
Oh yeah.
You know, that would be really fun, just doing like a small festival and then like continuously rising and doing
bigger things
with it.
For sure. Yeah, it's good to have goals in life, you know. Yeah, so when is your next show?
Our next show is April 13th.
Next Saturday, right?
It's next Saturday.
Yeah,
from when we're recording this. So we're playing at the Ashbury Coffee House again.
Nice.
We're playing with Gelatinous Cube and the Ambiguous Rex.
It's a very interesting long name.
And Harry and the Houdinis?
We're playing with a band called Harry and the
Houdinis. And then Cheerleader Roadkill.
And we're playing with Cheerleader Roadkill, which we're very excited about. I had played a show with them at El Manah, but...
Yeah, I'm very close with them. They come into the studio where we rehearse, actually,
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in class with Jesse, the drummer, and Jack, the bass player. That's how I met them, and I didn't even know they were in a band until one day I was like, I presented Local God as my final project for my recording techniques class. And
what grade did you get on it?
Oh, I got an A. I got an A, which was very good. But I scared a lady in my class. She was like a she was a middle-aged lady. She was very nice. She was an awesome lady. But she was like, "How do you do that and not hurt yourself?" I'm like, "I just try really hard."
Yeah.
And she was like, "It's good, but it's scary." I'm like, "Thank you."
Love that.
I knew Jack from Cheerleader Roadkill since like middle school.
Did you really?
Yeah, because he used to go to my middle school.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And then
he
moved. And it was crazy because like I hadn't seen him in so long.
Yeah.
Because he used to be like this really short, like hair a lot shorter. And then I think I can't remember what year he moved away. It was definitely before high school, and then I hadn't seen him in years. And then I went to a Dark Room show. I think it was Cruel Universe playing with Head War.
Yeah.
And I see someone who looked very familiar. And
he was there.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, him and Jesse were there.
Him and Jesse were there because they heard Local God when I presented it in class, and they asked if when my next show was.
Oh, really?
And it was Dark Room. Because cool. I released Local God, I think, the day before I played Dark Room. And they were like, "Yeah,
that's
we wanted
crazy.
To come see it live." And I was like, "Okay, cool." I still really didn't even know they were in a band yet.
And then I walked up to Jack. I was like, you're Jack Metz, right?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "It's Ian. You remember me?" He's like, "Oh shit, what's up?" And then we were talking.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm in a band." I'm like, "What's the band called?" He's like, "Cheerleader Roadkill." And I checked them out, dude. Their shit is really good.
Yeah.
They're really fucking good.
Yeah, I've seen them before. They're really good.
Yeah. It was just so jarring because like. I remember him as like this like really, really short kid, like super skinny too. And then I see him again, he's got like long hair,
huge
tattoos,
hair now,
muscles and shit. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah. That's so funny. So where can our listeners find your music?
You can find it everywhere. I really don't like when bands, not even just local bands, but just bands in general, like isolate where people can listen to their music. To be completely honest, if you don't want to spend money, we're on YouTube. Like, mm-hmm. just listen to us on YouTube. That would be fantastically fine. But we're... I really try to make it a point to be able to have our music everywhere so that, like, anybody can listen to it. Because there's been so many times where, like, I'll go to check out a band and it's like, oh, I don't have Spotify, so I can't listen to you, or I don't have this. So, like, I've definitely tried to make it as accessible as I can for everybody to just listen to it. We're on Deezer. Does anybody use Deezer?
Yeah, I never know if anyone actually listens to that, but everyone's always like saying, "Oh, you can also listen to us here."
Yeah, we're on the iHeartRadio app, I guess.
I had no idea there was a music app called Deezer.
Yeah. we want to try to do some physical releases. I definitely love CDs.
Me too.
We thought it would be really cool to do cassettes.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something.
Like the weekend that we released Coffin, I also uploaded a demo that I made for Cruel Universe on my personal SoundCloud, which is just Elian, Elian _ Gonzalez.
Yeah, we might honestly post like some demos there from time to time.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll have to check that out.
But that's where all of our music is. Like, obviously, the biggest one is Spotify, but we're everywhere. We want to try to make some music videos for some songs we got, and that's going to be on our YouTube. It's all on our Linktree on Instagram. But yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you to Woodgrain Pizzeria for letting us film here, and of course, thank you to Cruel Universe.
Yeah. It was a pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time to do this interview.
Yeah.
It was nice meeting you guys.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah.